In the latest chapter of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves in a world where submarines and narco-terrorists are apparently more threatening than ever before. Yes, folks, President Donald Trump has announced the release of two survivors from a military strike on a suspected drug vessel in the Caribbean. These individuals will be sent back to Ecuador and Colombia, because nothing says justice like outsourcing legal processes to other countries. With great pride, Trump declared it his honor to obliterate a submarine carrying four so-called narco-terrorists. Two were killed, and now we're left with this international game of hot potato over what to do with the survivors. The administration had been scrambling, because that's what you do when you're unsure if your actions are even legal, to figure out how to handle these first-ever detainees from their grand campaign against drug traffickers. It's an era where secret legal opinions justify lethal strikes against an ever-expanding list of alleged cartels and traffickers, all under the dubious banner of national security. Historically, these people were criminals entitled to due process. Now, they're targets in some bizarre real-life video game where Congress hasn't even authorized pressing play. Colombia's president, Gustavo Petro, is just happy one survivor is alive. Meanwhile, Ecuador's Ministry of the Interior is busy ensuring their survivor gets checked out medically. As if that's going to fix anything about this entire situation, the legality of these operations remains as murky as the waters those submarines navigate. Yet here we are, watching scores of military assets patrol the Caribbean like it's 1984 meets Miami Vice. This isn't just a war on drugs, it's a war on sanity itself, a surreal spectacle where Article 2 powers are stretched thinner than our patience for this madness. But hey, at least we've got another classified document or two gathering dust somewhere that supposedly makes it all okay. So while lawmakers wring their hands over constitutional authority and international norms crumble into irrelevance, remember, we're living through history, or maybe just some fever dream masquerading as reality, and it's not getting any less absurd anytime soon. Welcome to 2025, year 5 of our collective nightmare.
Welcome to First World Problems, where we tackle the pressing issues that keep the privileged up at night. Today, we're diving into a real nail-biter. A government shutdown threatening food stamp benefits for millions of Americans. Now, I know what you're thinking. How will this affect my artisanal cheese budget? But hold your organic kale smoothies, because we're about to explore a crisis that could mean choosing between feeding your family or making that next car payment. Imagine the horror. 1 in 8 Americans might have to deal with the unthinkable, eating generic cereal instead of those Instagrammable avocado toasts. Meanwhile, political leaders are locked in an epic battle over who gets blamed for not extending Obamacare subsidies. It's like watching a reality show where everyone loses and no one gets voted off. But wait, there's more. The USDA's contingency fund is running on fumes, $6 billion short for November benefits. That's less than Jeff Bezos spends on his space hobbies. Yet here we are, debating whether vulnerable families can afford their next meal while some folks worry if their Wi-Fi is fast enough for streaming 4K cat videos. And let's not forget WIC, a program helping pregnant women and young children, that's been saved by shifting $300 million from tariff revenue. Because nothing says nutritious meals like funds originally earmarked for trade wars, so as states scramble to stop accepting new food stamp applications, remember, this isn't just about food security, it's about priorities. While some fret over their next brunch reservation, others face the stark reality of empty pantries. In the end, maybe this shutdown will teach us all a valuable lesson. When it comes to first world problems, it's time we rethink what's truly worth losing. Sleep over.
Ah, the AI bubble, our modern day alchemy, where the promise of turning code into gold has us all spellbound. It seems we've taken a page from history's book of speculative folly, convinced that a $1 trillion valuation is just one more zero away from reality. As Deutsche Bank analysts would have us believe, this bubble within a bubble has already burst, but don't worry, the market remains as frothy as ever. In an ironic twist worthy of its own algorithmic punchline, 10 AI startups with profits as elusive as unicorns have somehow amassed nearly $1 trillion in market value over the past year. It's a financial carnival ride with no seatbelts and plenty of clowns juggling investor dollars like flaming torches. Wall Street analysts draw uneasy parallels to the dot-com era, while tech evangelists assure us that disruption is coming to every corner of life. In a good way, they hope Because if there's anything we need more than existential dread, it's our phone operating systems and pharmaceuticals getting a digital makeover by machines that may or may not have learned their craft from public domain coding. Enter Julian Garand with his bold declaration. We're living through the biggest and most dangerous bubble known to humankind. A misallocation of capital so grandiose, it makes previous economic follies look like quaint dress rehearsals. And yet here we are, watching valuations soar higher than our collective disbelief. Garand reminds us that large language models are impressive at predicting text, but fall short of being economic saviors. They're like gifted parrots reciting Shakespeare, not quite ready to pen their own sonnets. The scaling wall looms large. Developers hit it hard and often without much progress since ChatGPT-4 graced us with its presence back in March 2023. But fear not, for even as these AI companies fail to produce their elusive killer app, productivity might still get a boost by replacing nonsense jobs with equally nonsensical algorithms. Who needs human oversight when you can automate mediocrity? Meanwhile, NVIDIA counts its blessings and dollars, standing tall amid loss-making data centers and software developers who cling desperately to venture capital lifelines. As investor enthusiasm wanes, only those with bottomless coffers, the SoftBanks and Saudi Arabias of the world, remain willing participants in this high-stakes game of pretend. And so we watch as this AI spectacle unfolds, a circus act teetering on the edge between innovation and implosion. Will it deflate? Perhaps someday soon. Or maybe never at all if hype continues outpacing reason by leaps and bounds. Should Garand be wrong? Well, then perhaps we'll stumble upon superintelligence, a deus ex machina rewriting society's script for better or worse, and find ourselves living out utopian fantasies or dystopian nightmares penned by Vonnegut himself. Until then, though, let's sit back and enjoy popcorn while marveling at humanity's unyielding optimism wrapped tightly around technology's fickle embrace. A daily dose, indeed, fittingly dystopian enough for our times.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the deeper questions of life while chuckling at the absurdity of it all. Today, we're diving into a topic that has been on everyone's lips, literally. It's from an article titled, When the White House Gets Salty, Trump, Biden, and Presidential Profanity, courtesy of CNN. Ah, profanity, the universal language that transcends borders, cultures, and apparently political decorum. It seems our esteemed leaders have taken a page from the Sailor's Dictionary to express their frustrations with the world. President Donald Trump recently decided that diplomacy could use a little more spice by dropping an F-bomb in a cabinet room meeting about Venezuela. Now that's what I call making foreign policy great again. But let's not single out Mr. Trump. He's just following in a grand tradition of colorful language in politics. Remember when Joe Biden whispered sweet nothings like big fucking deal into Barack Obama's ear during a live mic moment? And who could forget Dick Cheney's heartfelt invitation for Senator Leahy to perform an anatomically challenging act upon himself? It raises some existential questions. Is this profane poetry merely human nature bubbling up under stress? Or is it part of an elaborate plan to remind us all that no matter how high you climb, you're never too far from your primal roots? In these moments, we see our leaders stripped down to their most basic selves, just like us when we stub our toe on the coffee table or realize we've left the oven on after leaving for work. It's comforting to know that even those with nuclear codes are still prone to expressing themselves with the same linguistic flair as someone who's just missed their morning coffee. But perhaps there's irony here worth noting. As they curse their way through geopolitical quagmires and domestic disputes, these leaders inadvertently highlight one truth about human existence. We're all just trying to navigate this chaotic ride called life without losing our minds completely. So next time you hear a politician drop an expletive, take comfort in knowing they're grappling with life's absurdities just like you and me, one F-bomb at a time. After all, if our leaders can't keep it together without swearing occasionally, what hope do we mere mortals have?
In the relentless pursuit of profit, Guatemala's maquilas stand as a testament to capitalism's fever dream. A dystopian reality where human dignity is sacrificed at the altar of economic growth. Here, in this concrete jungle fortified by barbed wire and secrecy, Tens of thousands of women become mere cogs in a vast machine designed to churn out cheap apparel for insatiable markets across North America. Every morning, these women march into factories like prisoners entering their cells, past gates that symbolize their entrapment within an industry that thrives on exploitation. The veil of secrecy shrouding these factories is not just a corporate prerogative. It is a necessity to maintain the illusion of ethical consumption. Cameras are barred, inspectors thwarted, and unions crushed under the weight of threats and violence. In this capitalist utopia, transparency is the enemy. Inside these walls, workers are stripped of humanity and reduced to numbers on spreadsheets, expected to produce thousands of garments daily, while standing for hours on end, all for wages that barely scrape by subsistence levels. Here, water becomes undrinkable sludge, laced with soap and cockroaches. A grim metaphor for how basic rights are diluted until they are unrecognizable. The garment industry's web stretches far beyond Guatemala's borders. It ensnares international brands in a convenient dance of plausible deniability. They remain blissfully detached from the abuses within their supply chains, while reaping the rewards of low-cost production facilitated by an intricate network of subcontractors who keep prices low at any human cost. Workers like Rutilia Cano toil away their lives with dreams perpetually deferred. Dreams as fragile as the plastic curtain that serves as her door. After decades spent sewing clothes she could never afford herself, her severance evaporates into thin air when her factory collapses under financial malfeasance. In this twisted hierarchy, power dynamics morph into predation. Male supervisors exploit female workers with impunity. In expected consequence, when authority goes unchecked amid systemic indifference towards gender-based abuse, complaints fall upon deaf ears, or worse. They lead to retaliatory dismissals, ensuring silence reigns supreme over justice. Even those brave enough to challenge this status quo find themselves ensnared in bureaucratic impotence. The labor ministry impotently rebuffed at factory doors, barricaded against accountability itself. Union members blacklisted from future employment prospects merely for daring demand better conditions than servitude offers them now. Guatemala's political climate offers little hope amidst promises unfulfilled by leaders whose rhetoric fails against entrenched corruption, protecting profits above all else, even if it means perpetuating suffering among its citizens, caught between survival instincts versus moral convictions, demanding change long overdue, but always elusive. Still, despite incremental wage increases touted as progress, yet ultimately meaningless without enforcement mechanisms underpinning them effectively enough, ever truly mattering here today, tomorrow, forevermore, perhaps? As tariffs loom ominously over global supply chains, threatening further instability already endemic throughout developing nations dependent upon foreign capital investment, driving economies forward, albeit precariously so, given inherent vulnerabilities exposed repeatedly time again whenever crises arise, inevitably impacting most adversely those least able to withstand shocks inflicted upon livelihoods. Precariousness epitomized tragically, poignantly, starkly, undeniably, vividly, glaringly, unforgivingly, ruthlessly, cruelly, mercilessly, callously, heartlessly, pitilessly, cold-bloodedly, dispassionately, calculatingly, cynically, remorselessly, unrelentingly, ceaselessly, endlessly, tirelessly, eternally.